If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, probably some familiar verse of Scripture, the book of Acts, chapter 2. If you're Pentecostal, I know it's familiar. Amen. And I know I've got just a little while to preach, but there's no service tonight, so as long as we're out of here, every time the Hispanics show up, we're all right. Not going to be like the preacher that got up there and said, I'm going to preach from Genesis to Revelation. About an hour and a half in his sermon, he said, now what are we going to do with Abraham? Old fellow back jumped up and said, he didn't have my seat, I'm leaving. Glory. But I'm not going to be that long. I see some of you discouraged already. Amen. I could be. As y'all do know, sometimes my sermons expand after I put them together. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your word, and we ask, God, you would touch and anoint us with your presence. For Father, it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord another hand clap of praise? When Pentecost took place, something happened. Satan showed up. There was 620-something people in that upper room, maybe a little more. And during the 10-day prayer meeting, 500 or so of them left and left 120 of them still praying. And they're sitting there doing exactly what they were told to do. And all of a sudden, you know, Satan's watching what's going on with a great discern, trying to figure out what's going to happen. He's crucified Jesus. And can I tell you something? If Jesus hadn't been crucified, there'd never been a Pentecost. So if you're Pentecostal, don't lose sight of the cross, because without the cross, we got nothing. Hello? I have been in Pentecostal churches where all they tolerated was Pentecost and Holy Ghost, and they didn't understand if there ain't no cross, none of the other would have took place. And without the cross, we've got nothing. So I'm not going to promote Pentecost over the cross. Hello? I've been in churches where they get mad because you preach on salvation and run all over the place right talking about the Holy Ghost, and they got it backwards. They ought to be excited about salvation, because if you don't get saved, you can never be filled with the Spirit. And if it wasn't for Calvary, there'd have never been a Pentecost, an upper room. And so the church is there, 120 of them, and the devil's watching. And suddenly, the Bible said there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of them. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost falls. They begin to have tongues of fire falling on them. And something strange happened. Satan lost his mind for a few moments, because all of a sudden, 120 people became one entity. Instead of seeing 120 individuals, he saw the church for the first time, and he said, oh, what have I done? Glory. Amen. Because now, instead of one guy trying to carry a message, there's 120 loaded with an anointing, and they hit the street, and by the time that day's over, there's 3,000 more done joined in, and he's going, man, I done started something I can't stop. Glory. You say, wait a minute, preacher, listen. At Pentecost has become a sacred holiday to the church world. I was reading a book the other day about Pentecost as I was getting ready for this message, and I run across a little story of some kids that were learning the Apostles' Creed. And each one of them was given their part. And, you know, when you get parts going, somebody's missing, it messes up everything. The children started their parts, and the first one said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The second kid said, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Father. Then all of a sudden it got complete silence. And all of a sudden the teacher said, well, who's next? And the old man said, well, the guy believes in the Holy Ghost ain't here. Glory. Ah, oh, come on. Y'all have heard about the guys working for the city, and one guy was digging a hole and the other was covering up. And God said, what are y'all doing just digging a hole and covering up? And they said, well, the guy that plants didn't make it today. Glory. I I believe every pastor has a responsibility to carefully explain the meaning and the signature of Pentecost. We don't want to miss the power of God in our lives like some people have. Come on, church. Of course, Pentecost has always been a holiday. It's not something the church invented. The Jews celebrated Pentecost. Literally means Pentecost is 50 days. It's an Old Testament. It was positioned on the Jewish calendar 7 weeks after the Passover. It was a Jewish feast of harvest and was equivalent to what we call Thanksgiving Day. Amen. Hello? So let's break out the turkey and dressing and just have a big time this afternoon. Glory. The high point of the celebration was the bringing of 2 loaves of bread from the newly harvested wheat, which symbolized the dedication of the harvest. As the loaves were presented to the priests, so the disciples' lives were offered completely to God in the upper room. Listen to what the Bible tells us in Acts 1:14. They were all in one mind and continually devoted themselves in prayer. They were in one mind, one accord, praying to God. Why? Because they offered themselves a sacrifice to God, saying, hey, it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about my agenda, it's your agenda. It's not about what I want, it's what my vision is and what you've given me to do for you. And if the church ever realizes that and we ever get in one mind, one accord, there ain't enough demons or devils in the South Port, Alabama to stop this church from doing what God has set us here to do. And if we ever understand that, we're going to blow this place apart. Glory. My Bible said if 2 get together, they can put a bunch of them to flight. If we start getting together, we start throwing out demons, we're going to take over the area. And I don't know if y'all understand that, but that's exactly what God wants to happen in Alabaster. It's for the church to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is my dominion. You don't belong here. We've got it. You need to go. Oh, I told you it's going to expand. Listen, the guys in the upper room were already believers. The 10-day prayer marathon was just to get more power. Hello? Someone said, preacher, what are you talking about? The same total commitment is part of what we've got to have. On the Christian calendar, Pentecost occurs 7 weeks after Easter. That's because first Pentecost occurred 50 days after the resurrection. Hello? They're waiting on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're waiting on God to move. Why? Because they got a promise. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Well, I don't live there. No. But he said, if you'll get a hold of God, God will fill you with power, and you'll be witnesses of me in Alabaster, Shelby County, Alabama, America, and to the uttermost part of the world. And we love to send money to China. We love to send money to Romania. But it's time some of us woke up and realize you're in the fourth largest mission field in the world, and God has sent an anointing to set this church on fire to move a lost and dying world in the last day. And I believe we're in that day, and we need to ready ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo. Acts 2 and 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter's preaching the first Pentecostal message, and he starts quoting out of the prophet Joel. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'd pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will see visions. Your young men will dream. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Glory. And a young preacher told me the other day, said, I got a vision. All you got's a dream. I said, yeah, but I've been dreaming my dream for 40 long years, and God's finally letting it come to pass. Hello? I said, you're just thinking about it right now. Come on, church. Glory. Y'all missed that completely. Just so you know, according to statistics, the majority of the preachers in America, not just the Church of God, are 45 years or older. You know why? Because the younger men don't want a pastor. They want to run around, shout, and get paid. Hello? Now, I'm just surmising that, but truth of the matter is, biblically, the older men run the church and took the people. The younger men trained under them so that when they moved on, they could take over. Amen. Come on, church. I used to be a young preacher. Y'all may not believe that, but there was a time when I was 20 years old preaching the gospel, and I thought everybody was in my way. And then one day I woke up and realized if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have no way to be going. Hello? And I began to respect the older men and started pulling from them. Amen. And I just would find some of them older preachers, and I'd ride them around and pick their brain. Brother James Slay would come and preach, and I'd drive him back to Mobile. I got tickled one time. He told Brother Holly, he said, I ain't stupid. I know what he's doing. So he's riding down the road asking me questions. He'd learn more than he'd ever learn if he'd come to one of my classes. Amen. Hey, that's what it was all about. I needed to learn. He had the information. So I didn't mind driving to Mobile because all the way to Mobile, I was working on him. Glory. Peter left no doubt that what was happening on the day of Pentecost was what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. He said, this is that. Now, I want to ask you a question. It's what's going on in the church world today. Is this that? Amen. Come on, church. He said, this is that which the Joel promised was going to happen, but is that this that we've got today in the church? Because if this ain't that, we need to do something about it, and we need to have an old-fashioned prayer meeting, get in the upper room and say, God, we want what they had on the day of Pentecost. We don't want some emotional stir. We don't want somebody to jack us up with something. We want a move of God that'll change us. Pentecost has always been a holiday. It celebrates the harvest. Can I tell you that we on Pentecost Sunday ought to be celebrating the harvest? Wait a minute, what harvest? There's a field around us, got all kind of stuff in it that needs to be harvested. He's waiting on some of us to go out and start getting it. I read the Word of God, said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Glory. Come on, church. Some of y'all look at me like, well, you know, I'm just not cut for that. You know what? If your cup of tea ain't being a witness for God, you ain't got no tea in your cup. Oh. I was talking to a guy one time about witnessing. He said, well, that kind of talk just don't stir my soup. I said, well, then you ain't got no soup. You just stirring an empty bowl. Because Pentecost is all about reaping a harvest. The Holy Ghost didn't come to give you doodads, make you run an aisle. It came to anoint you. Nothing wrong with the doodads and aisle running, but if all you do is get doodads and aisle running, you never do anything with it, God's not going to keep pouring out his spirit on somebody that won't pour it out. If you're full and you're not getting refilled, it's because you're hanging on to what you got. Your cup's full and he ain't wasting his juice. Glory. New Testament church. Daily they went to the church. Daily they were refilled with the Spirit of God, but daily they added to the church those that were saved. Something's wrong. They were pouring out, so when they came back to church, they got a fresh indwelling because they poured out what was in them, and there was a place for God to put some more. Come on, church. I believe we need a harvest in the Spirit. As witnesses, we cannot afford to stop seeking to be filled with His power. As a church, we cannot afford to remain the same. We need to be transformed. As children, we cannot afford to ignore. We need to understand. We need to live and exist in His immediate presence. Could you say amen? Number one, as a church, we need Pentecostal power once again. God, we need the Holy Ghost because we need power to witness. My Bible tells me Jesus speaking to him at the night he was eating with him in Luke chapter 24. He said, and behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. I remember you used to get saved in Church of God's especially. I can't tell you what happened in the mother churches. Of course, I've been saved in several of them. I'm an interdenominational Christian. I'm Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic. I've been dipped, anointed, sprinkled. But I got Pentecost, it was weird. I got saved and they didn't just leave me on the back road to see if I was going to stay. Come on, church. Some of y'all, man, there have been none of them other churches, but once you've been dipped, anointed, or sprinkled, you basically, you're there. Man, I went to one church and I disappeared and they never even come see if I was alive. I'm still a member of that church and I've been preaching the Church of God for 41 years. I did a wedding at that church and they said, you a member? I said, yeah, I'm a member. They said, no, you not. She went down and looked, come back. She said, you're still a member. I've been there since I was 12 years old, a member of that church, and I ain't been back there since I was 12 and a half. Only time I get a letter is when they got a building program, when we give them an offering. I used to send them something so they won't take my name off the row. Glory. Come on, church. Don't look at me like that. I got in Pentecost. I got saved in the Church of God. Y'all heard Marty Kelly. I've told this story, but it's true. I got saved. I'm dumb. I didn't know nothing about Pentecost. I mean, my grandmother was Pentecost. All I knew was that's crazy. Don't look at me like that. We didn't get nicknamed Holy Rollers because we sat around and looked at the wall like some of y'all do. My grandmother used to come to the house every time she showed up, beds in revival. I said, Granny, all y'all do is get in revival. She slapped me when I got up. I said, Mamie, all y'all do is get in revival, because I couldn't call her Granny. She's worse than some of y'all with your nicknames. She made us call her by her name, Mamie. You call her Granny, you'd be ending up with a sore mouth because she'd pop. I said, all y'all do have revival. She said, we get one going, it goes a few extra weeks, and we just have another schedule. We don't cancel it. And she told me about Alabama City Church of God having a revival one time where they'd actually go out, stop the cars, bring people in, and pray them through. And I kept thinking, God, let me see that. And then I happened to be the preacher that it happened to. I was preaching in Inslee at Truth of Deliverance Tabernacle. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm still praying for people. There wasn't 200 folks there when I started, and I'm still praying for folks. And I looked at the pastor, I said, if I not pray for everybody in this building 4 or 5 times, he said, no, you don't understand. They're running up down the streets and bringing people from houses in here, and they're getting saved in the foyer, and you're praying for them in here. And we've had about 200 people prayed through tonight, and you're still praying for them because they're still looking for folks. Amen. I about half died. I looked over at him. I said, could you pray for some of them? He said, no, they're coming for the man of God. I'm like, what are you, chopped liver? Because after 3 hours, I was pretty much messed up and gone. I had to drive home. Lord. Hello? You see, church, we've somehow got to the place where we don't need Pentecost in the church anymore. We told him he's got to go back over to the back room over there. The Holy Ghost, a part of the Godhead, is not welcome in the house of God. So we put him off in a room. We've actually got Church of God's got shout rooms. Yeah, yeah. If you're going to shout, you got to go to room. Huh? I got some folks I'd like to send to room to teach them how to shout. Lord. Hello? Well, one pastor just had the Holy Ghost night one month a week. One week a month. I get it right in a minute. My brain's flipping this morning. It's got nothing to do with age. I've been told I ain't an old man, but I got a lot of miles. Some of my pistons ain't working right. Glory. I got a valve that's missing. Glory. The truth of the matter is, one Sunday night a month, he'd let them do Pentecost. Isn't that awesome? A Pentecostal church, one night a month, allows you to have Pentecost. The rest of the time, you just got to sit there. And this one lady, one of the biggest tithe payers, showed up for the Sunday night service. It's Pentecostal. She goes, what in the world is this? Girl said, we're Pentecostal. She said, I can't be no Pentecostal. I'm out of here. She quit paying tithes. He about stopped that service. Glory. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I didn't get here because I was raised this way. I got the Church of God at Buell, and they told me, you need to get sanctified. I said, what's that? And the boy said, I don't know, but you need it. Glory. I went down and got sanctified. They said, you need the Holy Ghost. I said, what's that? I don't know, but you need it. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost a few weeks later, and I'm here because I'm Pentecostal, because of the anointing of the presence of God got in my life. And I'm not ashamed of the fact I'm Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed of the fact that the Holy Ghost moves in my life. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I live Acts 1:8 in my life, and I'm a witness for God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I need the presence of God to help me preach the gospel, because the Bible said it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and sets the captive free, and we need Pentecost to make us overcomers in His power. Pentecost must be maintained. Lady went to a jeweler one day, carried her watch in. She said, I don't know what's wrong with it. He carried it back, stayed a few moments, come walking out, handed it to her. She said, oh, it's great now. She said, you fixed it that fast. He said, it just need the battery. She said, battery? I've been winding that thing every day. I didn't know it had a battery. Glory. We've got people that get filled with the Holy Ghost, think, well, I've got the Holy Ghost now. I can just sit here. But it's got to be renewed. It's got to be worked at. It's got to be a refreshed. A lot of Christians don't realize that. Listen, His power is available to us to complete the task before us. the harvest. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. You can see from the text that God did not dare ask the people to do something he would not empower them to do. He said, wait in Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. With the Holy Spirit, we can make a difference. Listen to what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2:4. For my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Church, listen, I could sit up here and I probably could mess you up with some intelligence if I tried. I have a little. But it wouldn't do you no good if I impressed you my intelligence. Listen, I'm so good. His aunt told me the other week something. I won't mention what she said. She didn't mean it the way it sounded. She was trying to say every time she come up with a subject, I could talk to her about it. But that's not the way it came out at the table. The idea is I could impress some of you with my intelligence, but what good is it if it don't do anything for you to move you closer to God? But I've seen men who had very little intelligence get anointed of the Spirit of God, use the Word of God, and turn people's lives upside down because of the anointing that got in their life. And I understand Paul, one of the most intelligent men of his day as far as Bible was concerned, said it's not about my knowledge and it's not about my words of wisdom. It's about the demonstration and the operation of the Spirit of God that can change your life and move you from where you are to where you need to be. We need to be like the New Testament church that saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a normal experience. I remember when I got in the Church of God, everybody thought you were supposed to get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You wasn't supposed to stop till you got there. Now we get people saved and they're here. Praise God. You just got started. Salvation is not the end of the experience. It's the beginning of a new life in Christ that needs help, and that's getting sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost so that you can make it. Hello? That's good preaching. We need to understand. We need the Holy Spirit because we are indeed a transformation. So I said, I knew you'd get off on that. Why not? It's the theme of our church this year. Be not conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? By the Spirit of God coming in and leading us and guiding us and directing us into things we don't understand. Do you not understand the enlightenment of the Spirit helps you understand Scripture you won't understand any other way? It is the anointing of the Spirit, Scripture that opens it up. We've always talked about, man, that Bible, it's like an orange. You squeeze it, think you got all the juice. Next thing you know, you find more juice. Why? Because the anointing pulls the juice out and takes you where it is. And when it needs to be, it'll reveal to you things that'll make you an overcomer. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need to be transformed like the men in the upper room. I mean, let's face it, they were already Christian, but it transformed them. Look at them. There's a bunch of prostitutes and tax collectors and fishermen. Not a one of them had a theological degree, but listen what they said of them. These are they that have turned the world upside down. Why? Because of the anointing power of the Holy Ghost of God that came into their lives and set them on fire from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, where they had to tell somebody. As Jeremiah said, it's like a fire set up in my bone that I cannot contain it anymore, because it's the anointing of Almighty God. Fire fell on them. Why? Because fire changes things. You don't never put nothing in the fire, it comes out the same way it went in. Hello? I can put my finger in the fire and it'll come out the same way. No, it won't. Not if you leave it there long enough, because it'll melt that skin on the outside and change the whole way all that looks. There was a man, there was a blacksmith, was trying to put two horseshoes together, and he beat on them and beat on them and beat on them, and then suddenly he realized, wait a minute. He threw them over in the furnace and got them hot, put them together, and in two licks they were together, because the fire melted them so unity could happen. Fire cleanses, purges. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? You ever notice you get a backyard full of leaves, quickest way to get rid of them, just pile them up. Of course, now we're in Alabaster, I can't do that. When I was in Buell, I just rake them up and light them. Somebody said, what about the neighbors? They were far enough away, it wasn't going to bother them. Glory. I mean, now I got neighbors be going, I say, what are you doing? They be calling the fire department. Well, I lived in Butte. You could start a fire and they wouldn't even know what's going on. Fire department would show up 3 days. Glory. What makes the church work in our day? What makes the church move in our day? It is the anointing of the Spirit. It is the power of God that moves. There's never been a program that can dramatically transform somebody's life. You can take 12-step program all you want to. Most people take a 13th step and they go right back where they were when they started the first 12. As you get a hold of God, it will transform you. It will change your mind. It'll change your thinking. It'll change what you... Oh, come on, church. I'm not telling you something I read in a book. You're looking at a drug addict alcoholic stumbled in a church trying to buy booze off an usher, but God saved me and the transforming power of His grace turned me into who I am. And I don't like people to tell me, oh, you'll be an alcoholic the rest of your life. I was, but at the night I fell at an altar, my life changed. Old things passed away. All things become new, and I am now a new creature in Christ. I am not that old man. He is dead. I am alive in God and renewed by His power. I was teaching at Bryce Hospital, working as a counselor. I see somebody going, I believe you was at Bryce's. But I was working in the drug rehab as a counselor, and all of a sudden I went in one day, and they had stamped my pass, persona non grata. I know what that was. I have a hard enough time with English. I don't need to try to work on something else. I looked over the guy and said, what's that? He said, person not wanted. I said, what does that mean? He said, it means you can't go in. I went down to the guy in charge. I said, hey, what's the problem? He said, I have told you, you can't use religion. You can't tell these people about religion. You got to stick with a 12-step program. I said, dude, I'm sticking with what got me out, and that was religion. He said, well, you can't come back in here. We don't have that here. I said, I figured that out. He was a priest in the Episcopal Church. I don't usually call names of churches, but somebody don't want to use religion when they're a religious person. I have a problem with that. But you know, they have a little technicality. If someone in there requests to see me, they can't keep me out. I'm preaching in Lineville, Alabama, the other side of the state. I got a young lady that tried to commit suicide, jumped out a window and broke her back. And they remanded her to Bryce Hospital, to the Drug Interdiction Center, for so many months because it's automatic, even though God healed her back. Now, preacher, don't get carried away. Oh, no. She came to church in a back brace the first night. God healed her when she got saved. She took the back brace off, went to the doctor, and he wrote a letter, brought it back to the Lionville Church of God that said there are no more cracks in her vertebrae. Her back is completely well. She showed it to the judge, and the judge said, even though you're healed, you still got to go to Bryce's. She goes down there, and the minute she gets in, she writes my name on her guest list. Oh, I loved it when I walked in. He said, what are you doing here? I said, she wants me. 6 weeks I went in and out every day I wanted to, and I'd sit down at the table with her, and a bunch of people would join us, and we'd have church. And you know, he put her out because he didn't want me coming in. I'm in Billingsley preaching revival. She come walking in the back door, and Jerry Burroughs was with me. He said, hey, there's Tina. We went back and said, what are you doing out? She said, they told me I could leave. He was tired of me and you both. Glory. Amen. Because when I wasn't there, she was espousing my gospel. Amen. Come on, church. And she had a lot of influence. She was a former witch in the coven in Clay County. Amen. He said, well, what kind of pull did she have? A couple weeks later, the priest got saved. Hello? Water of Life Fellowship Church. Ignorance is bliss. He came down, knelt in the altar, and I wanted to start praying for him. I didn't have a clue who he was. The other guy was going, and I said, what's wrong? I said, man, he's the head priest of the coven. I said, really? Gave his heart to the Lord. 20-something kids out of that coven ended up in those altars at Water of Life that week, giving their heart to God. Amen. Church, listen, it happened because of the anointing of Pentecost that broke the chains of bondage and set those people free. As the children, we cannot afford to ignore the immediate presence of God. Church, listen, the anointing of the Spirit of God gives me an immediate knowledge of a presence of God in my life 24/7. We got so many people, they make it to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they about half die between Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. That's the anointing of the Spirit of God that sets you apart and makes you realize it's not just Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, but it's Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, Saturday. Every day I'm alive, there's an anointing and a presence of God that's in my life that helps me, that walks with me, that talks with me, that keeps me out of trouble. Come on, church. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? The Bible tells me if I've got the anointing of the Spirit in my life, that He will then pray through me and talk to God about stuff I don't even know needs to be talked about. He'll pray about things that are around that curve I can't see. Things are going to happen tomorrow I don't know what's going to take place, because He knows, and He's setting it up so that I get an anointing in my life to help me get by. Listen, I know I got to close. I'm headed to a church, first revival they'd ever had. They just built the church building. They did not even have insulation or sheetrock up. They had folding chairs in a little church. No bathroom. They had a motorhome pulled up outside. If you had to go to the bathroom, you'd go to the motorhome. That church runs about 150 in the middle of nowhere in Fayette County right now. It's out near the Fayette County Lake, called Trinity Church of God. The pastor and one other man in the church was the only ones that had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They just started the church, got all these people, and they were people from every kind of background, denomination. They started coming there. During that week, we had 20-something people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It started, one guy got the Holy Ghost, and all of them praying for him started getting hungry. And next thing you know, they started getting the Holy Ghost. They kept praying for one another. And I was just sitting back watching it, enjoying it. Lord, we baptized 20-something people in water. We borrowed the baptistry at the Fayette Church, and it was cold, and he didn't leave the heater on. I walked up, stepped on the water, and could walk across it. It was so hard. And I looked at the pastor, and he looked at me, and he said, "Oh, Lord, do y'all realize how long it takes to baptize 20-something people? You do when the water's freezing." I got out. My legs were numb for 30 minutes, and then suddenly I felt blood flow, and I was going, "Hey, they're going to live." Lord. 2 months later, he asked me, he said, "I got a bunch of people want to get baptized. Can you come do it?" I said, "You ain't going back to that church, are you?" He said, "No, we'll go to the lake." We go down, baptize 20-something people in the lake. But it was through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I haven't forgotten my story. We're headed to church. Frida's expecting Alicia, so she's in the ride and don't even know it. Alex is about two and a half. He's in the back seat with his mama, and I'm going down a back road. And if you've ever rode with me, I'm never late. If I think I'm running late, I just ease up a little bit and make up the time. There is no grass on my tires, I promise you. And I'm in a back road in Fayette County, and I'm making up time. I don't know what speed limit is. Ain't no signs on that road. So I figure whatever you can get is yours. And Alex goes to climbing over the seat, pulling on me, hollering, "I don't see them deer, Daddy. I don't see them deer." I start slowing down because I'm wrestling with a kid coming over the seat now. I get him down beside me. I've got my foot on the brake. I'm almost stopped. I turn the curve, and there's a herd of deer standing in the road. I never would have seen them, and I never would have stopped before I got into them if it had not been for that child climbing over the seat. He said, "What's that got to do with anything?" Soon as I stopped, he saw the deer. He said, "There they are, Daddy." He crawled back over the seat, left me sitting there, and I'm going, "Wow." Because if I'd have hit them deer at the speed I was going, I'd have cleaned up a whole bunch of meat, but there'd have been some dead people in the car. Come on, church. He said, "What's that got to do with anything?" God told that little kid, "There's deer around the curve. You need to get your daddy to slow down so you can see him, because he's running too fast and fixing to kill the family." The Holy Spirit understood I needed help, and He used my child to make me understand there's something around the curve I can't get through. That's what Pentecost is all about. That's what the anointing of God is all about. And we need it in the day in which we're living. We need to understand what God's doing for us. I'm trying to hurry. But listen, fire's not new. Bible tells me Solomon dedicated the temple and said that when he made an end of praying, the Shekinah glory, the fire of God, fell in the Holy of Holies. When Moses dedicated the tabernacle, he prayed and the Shekinah glory fell. I don't know about y'all, but if they could have it, I want it. And we need to understand more than anything else, we need the power of Pentecost to move us in the day in which we're living. You say, preacher, but can we have it? The Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels that we might feel the excellency of God. Oh, hallelujah. Church, realize this is our gift. Well, who gets to have the Holy Ghost? Everybody gets saved. The Holy Ghost abides with them. I've had Pentecost. That's not true, but that's biblical. When a person gets saved, the Spirit of God will abide with them forever. We're not talking about that. We're talking about baptism. Y'all understand what baptism is? I had a friend was pastoring a church in Mobile or Montgomery. He was using a Methodist church, and they had this little thing up there like this set up and had a little top on it. I looked over, the guy said, "What is that?" And he said, "The baptistry." I said, "How do you get anybody in that thing?" But they were sprinkling them. Come on, church. I mean, when I was younger, I was pretty dumb about stuff. Glory. I wasn't as wise as I am now. Oh, come on, smile. I actually was trying to figure out how they got people in there. Because, see, the way I understand baptism is the way Jesus was baptized. That was, he was pushed under the water, immersed, so that the water totally surrounded him and covered all of his being. And when I talk about the Spirit, it's not just the Spirit abiding with me. It's being immersed in his power so that every fiber of my being becomes controlled by the anointing and the presence of Almighty God. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? He said, I pray the Father, he send another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world knoweth not, neither can it receive. But he shall be with you and he shall be in you. Ezekiel said, I shall put my Spirit in you and it will make you to walk in my statutes. I want to tell you, friend, it's kind of like this. I explained it one time. You take a glass, fill it with water, that's great. But you drop that glass in the ocean, you know what it is then to be filled with the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God. It's just totally different. It's not just having the Spirit with me, but I am immersed with the power of the glory of God. And that's what Pentecost is all about. But we have to have a renewing. Any of y'all ever watched the Turn of the Roses Parade? And I'm going to quit in just a moment. 2 years ago, Turn of the Roses Parade, one of the floats is going down the middle of the road. It stopped dead still in the middle of the road. They were out of gas. It was mobile oil that run out of gas. Held up the whole parade. Had to get somebody to run to a station and get gas, put it in the vehicle, and take off with their parade. Lord. If it had been anybody else, it wouldn't have been as funny, but it was mobile oil sitting out there going, hey, we're the oil people of the world. We just out of gas. Glory. But see, sometimes we believe that because we are connected to a Pentecostal church, we're automatically going to be Pentecostal. It doesn't work that way. It's your prerogative. You know, the Bible tells me when God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, and I am closing sometimes. The Bible said he breathed in him. It was that breath of God that made him a living soul. Until God breathed on that little mud man, he was just a little mud man. He breathed on him. He jumped up. I don't know who it was, but somebody the other Sunday night showed me a picture of Adam and Eve at their birth. I want that picture texted me. It was a pile of dirt and a bone. You just got to, some of y'all going, what's that got to do with anything? Adam was made out of the dirt. She came out of a bone. He breathed on him, became a living soul. Notice in John chapter 20, Jesus took these men to Bethany, and the Bible said he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of God to us today is the breath of life that brings to life the new creation that God has made out of us. And we are not fully alive until we breathe in that breath that God has given us and fills us with His Spirit. Church, do you not realize that what makes us alive is the breathing in the breath? Do you realize that you breathe 40-something thousand times a day? You don't have to walk around going, breathe, 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 breathe. It's an involuntary thing that makes you breathe. One of the problems I have is at night, I don't think about breathing. I go to sleep. If I get in a deep enough sleep, So I have to wear a machine that keeps me breathing while I'm asleep. Because my body doesn't think to breathe when I'm in a deep enough sleep. Sometimes I wonder if we don't need spiritual resuscitators in the church. Because we got people that don't realize you've got to have that breath, that connection to God, or you're not going to make it. It is that continual renewing and rebooting of the power of God in you that makes you an overcomer. And just as you've got to have breath to exist in the physical, you need the breath of God to exist in the spiritual. You need to be breathing in His presence, His power, and His glory. And as a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, you shouldn't have to walk around going, I need to breathe, I need to breathe, I need to breathe. You just automatically go, hey, God, I need your touch. God, I love you. God, I want you to touch me. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I think it's time for us as Pentecostals to realize, God, put some fresh fire in me. God, send me that fresh anointing. Just as the New Testament church got re-anointed with the Holy Ghost, re-anoint me with a fresh touch, a fresh fire, a fresh move of your Spirit. God, baptize me again in your anointing, in your presence, God. Set a fire in me that will consume the entirety of who I am. Let every fiber of my being be anointed with the power of your Holy Ghost that I can move in your presence forever and forever and forever. Stand with me all over the house. And if you think I'm playing with you, just ask the lady. I have skipped a whole bunch of this sermon. I mess her up because I don't stay with the scriptures as I gave them to her. And so she can tell you I'd run around, but I didn't run out. Church, this is Pentecost Sunday. This could be one of the greatest days of your life. If you're here this morning and you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the greatest thing you could ever do for yourself is say, God, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Say, well, preacher, it ain't for me. I've never run into anybody it wasn't for. If you're a born-again believer, it's for you. Last year I was in North Dakota preaching. I had Lutheran, Episcopal, Presbyterian. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I had this one guy, I didn't really know who he was, but he Monday night, he left while the altar service was going on and then came back in and sat down. And I was trying to figure out what he was doing. Tuesday night, he shows up, stays in church, comes to the altar. I prayed for him and he fell out in the spirit. He gets up and he walks across the room. He said, that's weird. I said, what? He said, I know you didn't knock me down. He said, you didn't even get all the way to me before I fell out. He said, I woke up laying on the floor. Don't know how long I was there. I said, you've been a while. He said, I've got to check this out again. Y'all may not understand this, but he has trucks he runs oil in. He killed 2 truckloads a day so he could come to church. That's a lot of money he was giving up. He comes back on Wednesday night, and I walked over to him. He said, I don't know what all these people have got, but I want it. He said, what I got last night was just a touch. I want the whole thing. Next thing I know, he's laying on the floor speaking in tongues. He comes up off the floor, threw his arms around me. He said, you do know I'm a Mennonite. I said, what? He said, well, I'm not anymore, but I was. Glory. He said, they won't accept me like this. I said, what do you mean like this? He said, oh, there is something happening to me. I'm on fire. I saw him after church. He was at a grocery store because he was fixing to make one more run before midnight with his truck. And he kept walking out and he looked at me and said, preacher, oh, he said, I called my wife and she's coming out here. She wants what I got. Amen. I want to tell you something, the church, this is what it's all about. It's getting that fire in us so that folks around us say, hey, I want some of what he's got. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence, for your power, for your glory. For Pentecost, we give you praise. But we ask you, God, give us a fresh touch, a fresh outpouring of your fire. in Jesus' name.